Usually when I sit down and I sit on the plane, so the first thing I do is I take the blanket and the pillow and throw it on the floor. It's usually in the way. I very rarely ever use it. Last week I was flying back from Eretz Yisrael, and the flight was freezing. For the first time in I don't know how many years, I decided I'm going to actually take advantage of the blanket. I was all excited. I opened up the blanket and I see, wow, the blankets have improved in all the years that I used them. Now the particular blanket that I had a place to put your hands inside it. So I'm about to put my hands in and wrap it around me and beautiful. And then all of a sudden I came to the realization that it's four corners. And that whole shiloh was, again, think about most of the flights, we're going to think through the shiloh, which eventually is going to come to Nigeria. What's the din? Is a person allowed to wear a blanket as a, almost as a garment, and I'm just wearing it around his body, and if that four-cornered blanket slash garment doesn't have tits on it? What is that halacha? I didn't think that the Elah would have been too appreciative if I would have started to round off corners at the time, or if I would have had some tits and strings with me because I had bought a new talis in Eretz Yisrael, but I don't think they would have appreciated me poking holes in the blanket and start putting tits on. So what's the din? Halacha l'maaseh, you're allowed to...
It was nice. It was that's
tonight's year. That's exactly what we're going to talk about. We're going to try to analyze all the different dimensions of this year. So the sugya begins, Rabbi Kama says, correct me, the first of the Rabbi Kama's. The Gemara Maseches Benachas, Nafnam Gimel with Aleph, Kisanya. The Pasuk says that one sees one's tithis, so the Tosh Rapeh immediately tells us this comes to exclude a ksus laila. I'm just going to translate the words precisely now, and then we're going to develop it as we go on. Ksus being the article of clothing, a garment, laila. So a night garment is exempt from the mitzvah of tithis, derived from the phrase arisa moso. It's interesting because the Gemara has a whole discussion in Maseches Benachos and in Maseches Shabbos what the meaning of the word arisa moso is. This is one interpretation of the Gemara, then the Gemara gives another possible interpretation. The interpretation that's missing in Chazal is kipshuta, that don't you have to see your tithis? Arisa moso. Isn't there a mitzvah to look at your tithis? Isn't there an idea to have your tithis visible outside? So somehow conspicuously that's missing from the Gemara. So the question is, what conclusion do you draw with the fact that that's not mentioned in the Gemara? Rabbi Moshe Feinstein drew the conclusion in his Tshuvas. You see from the fact that Chazal nowhere mentioned that a risa moso means literally, he says that obviously there is no such mitzvah. One is not obligated to wear one's tittis in a way that the tittis are visible. One can tuck in tittis, perfectly acceptable to chetchila. This is in contrast to the Mishnah Berurah. Mishnah Berurah, the Chofetz Chaim has a whole discussion about how terrible it is that some people tuck their tittis inside. The Mishnah Berurah says it's wrong on two counts. Because first of all, you're being mevatel the mitzvah of a risa moso. And second of all, to be zoyin to the tittis, it shows like almost like you're hiding the tittis, you're trying to tuck them in, no one should see them. So the Mishnah Berurah was very opposed to the practice of not having your tittis out. So Rav Moshe responded to the Mishnah Berurah's concerns and says, the mitzvah of a risa moso, Chazal don't say anything about seeing tittis. The concern that it looks like it's embarrassing to the tittis, says Rav Moshe, why is it embarrassing to the tittis? If I'm wearing a dalit kanfas all on top of my shirt, and then I go out of my way to hide the tzitzis that we should see, that's the bizarre HaMitzvah. But if the dalit kanfas are under my shirt anyway, why is that embarrassing? The same way that the beged's under my shirt, the strings are under the shirt. So Rav Moshe didn't think there was such a necessity to wear one tzitzis out. The HVH, different opinions. It's interesting that there's a third opinion that's by Rabbi Vadi Yosef. Vadi Yosef writes, Al Pi Kabbalah, that one is not allowed to wear one tzitzis out. He writes that the Svardim should follow the sock. And then he writes at the end that maybe the Ashkenazim could be makel to wear the tzitzis out. Maybe. That's what he presents it. Maybe. But the Sfaradim, Vishum Parav Open, they have to always wear the tzitzis in. I don't know if all the Sfaradim listen to that Pesach of Rabbi Vaja, I can't tell you that. But yesh v'yesh. But Akol Parim, the drasha that does appear in the Gemara is this drasha, Rismos HaPratlus Laila. Of course, this is going to immediately impact on our Shaila. Maybe this is the beginning and the end of the Shaila. Maybe if the blankets fall under the category of ksus laila, then even if they are a four-cornered garment, even if that is considered to be almost wearing the garment, maybe it's exempt from tzitzis anyway, simply based on this drasha of pratlik ksus laila. So there is a major machlokes in Rishonim, what exactly this phrase means, pratlik ksus laila. What are the parameters of ksus laila? If you take a look at the second of the Mamre Kabbos, the Shulchan Aruch quotes both opinions. The Shulchan Aruch in Hilchos Tzitzis Simin Yirchesef Aleph. The second of Mamre Kabbos, Laila loves man tzitzisu. Laila, nighttime, is excluded from the mitzvah of tzitzis. The imut never isim osel. It is excluded based on the pasuk of orisim osel. What does that mean practically? Laharambam, kol ma shelovesh b'layla potur, Afilu miyuchad layoim. According to the Rambam's understanding, the nighttime hours are exempt from tzitzis. It doesn't matter what type of garment it is, whether it's a four-cornered pair of pajamas or whether it's a four-cornered shirt. If it's dark outside, then there's no mitzvah tzitzis, according to the view of the Rambam. But the reverse is true, says the Rambam, says the Shulchan Aruch B'das Rambam. But if you happen to be wearing this garment in the daytime, it doesn't matter whether it's a nighttime garment or a daytime garment. If it's light outside, then you have to put tzitzis on the garment. If you have a four-cornered pair of pajamas, is it chayiv or is it potter? According to the Rambam, it depends. If you're wearing it at night, it's potter. If you're wearing it in the daytime, it's chayiv. And there's no difference between a pair of pajamas and any other type of a garment. So, according to
plus, I'm going to eat some also. This has been bothering me. I could hang my tits out like people do. But I don't see it. The eat some also, is that referring to the next person or to myself?
According to the Mishnah Berurah, who understands the eat some also to mean a mitzvah that he's supposed to see, doesn't mean you have to spend the whole day looking down at your tits, but if the tits are visible, so every once in a while you take a look down. So, you can see my tits. That's a fulfillment of eat some also according to the Mishnah Berurah. So notwithstanding the Rambam, the Shulchan Aruch then goes on to quote the dissenting view of the Rosh, the end of the second line, the second Rambam Gemara, Ul HaRosh, Ksus HaMiyuchad L'Layla Potur, Afilu Lov Shabayom. According to the Rosh, if it's a garment that's designated for the nighttime, namely it's a pair of pajamas, a four-cornered pair of pajamas, it's exempt from tzitzis, even if you happen to personally be wearing it in the daytime. Uksus HaMiyuchad L'Yom, but if you have a garment that's designated to be worn in the daytime, even though it's dark outside, nighttime outside, doesn't matter. According to the Rambam, if it's basically a day-oriented garment or a mixed day and night of garment, then it would be obligated in tzitzis at all times. So we have a major machlekes, the Rambam, the Rosh. What is the potter? What is that exempting force from tzitzis? Is it the hours of the nighttime, or is it the type of a garment that one is wearing? How do we pass in halacha? Okay, that's mean the Pshuto Shemikra, the Oso is referring to the Tcheles, but we pass in the Halacha that Oso is B'Lashon Yachid, is referring either to Tcheles or to the Love, and that's why we pass in that Tcheles is not Achiv. Because that word of Risa Moso, since the Torah presented Tit as B'Lashon Yachid, either string could potentially be a fulfillment of a Risa Moso also.
We wear a Talis Garden, it's Arbacantos. We wear a Talis Garden, it's Arbacantos. But when in the history, beginning with our Rome Avinu, did people dress with Arba Kanfos?
I think the opposite may be true. That in the olden days, a lot of people wore Dal Kanfos. The Gemara explains that in the Zman HaGemara, it was normal to wear four-cornered garments. And
they didn't wear pants the way we wear pants.
No, they wore the kinds of shawls and, you know, whatever they wore. Oh, I don't know what togas, but whatever they wore.
They wear skirts or gowns like women wear today.
But there clearly were four-cornered garments. The Rishonim point out that already in Europe, when the Jews began to move to Europe, it wasn't stylish to wear four-cornered garments. And then the Rishonim instituted this idea of going out of our way to wear four-cornered garments. In the days of the Gemara, you didn't have to go out of your way to wear four-cornered garments. It was normal. The Gemara tells a story about a certain person who went out of his way not to wear four-cornered garments. That was wrong. So we've adopted the practice of going out of our way dafka to wear, because in our style of dress, the last 1,500 years, it wasn't normal to wear four-cornered garments.
Whenever you see pictures of ancients, they're wearing robes. They're not wearing four-cornered garments.
I don't know. How do we pass in Halacha in this machlokes to Rambam and the Rosh? So in the end of the third line of the second Rambam comes, God the Ramah says, the suffix brachas lahokel. We treat this as a suffix. We're not sure who's right. So therefore, Akein ein levarich alav elikas shalovesh bayom u'miyucha gamkein layom. So we're going to go out of our way not to make a bracha on tzitzis unless it's both daylight as well as a beged ha'miyucha layom. Either one of those two criteria missing, we're not going to make a bracha. Now, that doesn't mean that we're going to wear a four-cornered garment without tzitzis if either one of those criteria are missing. It means we don't know what the din is. We're going to put tzitzis on all the garments, misafek, but we're only going to make a bracha if it's bayom and a ksus yom as well. Then the Ramah adds on, because of this, aveyachat tefilas arvis, Once a person ready daven ma'ariv, let's say he wants to daven early ma'ariv, and now he wants to put tzitzis on and make a bracha. So you would think, well, it's still yom, the sun hasn't set yet, and it's a ksus yom. So the Rama says, no, once he's already been makabel the next day through his tefillah, then he also shouldn't recite a bracha. Then the Rama adds on also, v'leil yom kippurim, yis'atef b'od yom yivarech alav. Therefore, on Yom Kippur night, the only night of the year that we actively go out of our way to wear a talis, make sure to put your talis on Miba Od Yom before it's actually dark, because if it's already going to be dark, it's already going to be after Shkia, presumably, so that's already going to be a problem.
There's going to be a problem of saying a bracha.
Make a bracha, right. Make a bracha, right. There is a Magen Avraham that's Mekel, who says that if it's still been a Shmashel, so even though it's technically after sunset, you can still see, so maybe it's still called the Risa Mosel. That would be a Limus Chos. Those people who come to shul late in Yom Kippur night and don't get around to putting the talis on, they left the shkia. But those who come early should try to make sure to put the talis on top. Fine. So up until now, the issue that we've been addressing merely is this tour of Ksus Yom versus Ksus Laila, or Yom versus Laila. And the question is, how would this play out in terms of our blankets on the plane? So if it's a Ksus Laila Balaila, then it's exempt according to everybody. If it's either or, then it's a Machlokes Rishonim. If it's Yom by Yom, then of course it's obligated to go into everybody. So what exactly is a regular blanket in terms of Laila versus Yom? And what is a special unique blanket of a plane? I think that a regular blanket, I think we could safely assume, is considered to be a Ksus Laila. The Yuchad Laila, most people, everyone throughout can take a little nap on a Shabbos afternoon, or if we're lucky, maybe another day during the week, but primarily we buy blankets for nighttime sleep. So therefore, I think a regular blanket is called a Ksus Laila. Therefore, if you're using a regular blanket at night, then you have nothing to worry about. Then it's going to be Pater L'chol HaDeyas. But I'm a little bit concerned about the blankets on planes. Could one argue that a blanket on a plane is not as Ksus Laila as a regular blanket is? Because we know one thing is true on a plane, it's non-lo yom v'lo laila. Means we don't know where you're coming and going. About what determines whether you're going to sleep is when they tell you to, when they turn off the lights in the plane, if they lower the shades, that's the only thing that determines whether people are sleeping, hopefully, or not. But one could argue that maybe blankets on a plane are the strange kind of a blanket, that they're not quite 100% a Ksus Laila. Maybe they're closer to the model of Ksus Yom Vilayla, which is treated in halacha as a Ksus Yom. So I'm a little bit weary about that. Number two, even a niach that we're going to argue that a ksus laila, that a blanket is a regular ksus laila, even a plain blanket is a ksus laila, that would only exempt you certainly if it's ksus laila ba laila. But if you happen to be sleeping into the daytime, which is very possible, if you're sleeping after the zman of the day begins, which beitra din probably begins in alos hashachar, those who know from flying, it's always very hard to know exactly when that point is. So that even if it's technically Ksus Laila, that's not going to help you according to the view of the Rambam. Because according to the Rambam, if you're wearing a Ksus Laila by Yom, you have a Chiyuv to put tzitzis on. Yeah, okay, we're getting there in a minute. Yeah. Wait, we're getting there. Let's have our Shia. We're 5 minutes away from the Shia.
Also, there's a difference. When you lie down in bed, you're lying in a certain position, and you put the blanket over you, and you're in an airplane. You're like wearing the blanket.
Okay. Every nakuda we get to. That's right. We're going to talk about every single place. Okay. I did not fly first class. I could die. Okay. The blanket was first class blanket, but not the rest of the seat.
So El Al should provide blankets with tzitzit.
That's going to be our new request. It's going to be the Mahadran blankets. You've seen Mahadran meals. That's nothing. Mahadran blankets. Yeah, we'll leave that part out of the discussion. Okay. So let's move on to the end of the second of the Mamre Kavos. Because the issue that we have raised, we've been raising it a little bit of a humorous way in terms of the El Al blanket. What about the regular? I'm going home in a little while to go to sleep. A regular blanket. I'm going to sleep. What's the din? So based on everything that we said, well, it depends. If it's Balayla and it's a Ksus Laila, then we're home free. But I would imagine that every once in a while, some of us may sleep past the point into the Yom. Yom is Fashis Alos HaShach for these purposes. Now, true, this time of the year, Alos HaShachar is still a little bit on the late end, but in the summertime, Alos HaShachar can be running into the 4 o'clock range. So many of us do spend quite some time sleeping after Alos HaShachar. I assume that we don't take no one's machmet to take their blankets off at that point. So what's going on according to Hefter Shem, according to the Rambam, that's a bitul mitzvah deraisa. So forget about the Alal blankets. What's going on with our regular blankets? So in the end of the second of the Mamre Kavos, So the in Sif Gimel, the last line, the Shulchan Aruch quotes, Sadinim af al pi she'adam yashin behem baboker, ein matilim behem tzitzis. The Shulchan Aruch quotes very clearly that sheets, or we're going to assume blankets as well, even things that are covering over a person, one does not, what is not required to put tzitzis on them. What is that based on? The Mishnah Berurah in the third of the Maamar Kavos explains what the Pesach L'Shulchan Aruch is based on. Because the main purpose of these coverings is worn in the day, in the nighttime. Uksus laila ikri. Achlafizas, that's the Mishnah Berurah. If that's the only reason why the Shulchan Aruch is lenient, not to put tzitzis on blankets, lohaya patarach l'harash. That would only exempt us according to the view of the Rush, who says everything depends upon the ksus. Aval l'harambam, the ksus laila chayev ayom, chayev. But according to the Rambam, this would be great until 4 o'clock in the morning, but the minute that it starts to get light out, that's going to be a problem. And the Shulchan Aruch doesn't make such a difference. So says the Mishnah Berurah, V'yesh omim o tam liftar. Says the Mishnah Berurah, from left field, there's another reason to exempt blankets. And that's based on an opinion that appears in the Mordechai. The lo chiva ha-Torah rak derech malbush o derech ituf lo derech ha-lo bi-alma. That the Torah only obligates us to wear tzitzis if we're wearing a garment. Wearing means either wrapped around your body, wrapped around your, including wrapped around your head, or wrapped around the bulk of your body. But if something is merely covering over you, I'm sleeping flat and the blanket's on top of me, that's called derech halah, that's not called derech levisha, and it would be exempt from the mitzvah tzitzit. Now this Mordechai is a little bit of a chiddush, because we have a parallel area of halacha. Halacha is a shatnez. Shatnez and tzitzit very often go hand in hand. And when it comes to shatnez, that is clearly not the case. When it comes to shatnez, the halacha is quite clear that if you have a blanket that has shatnez in it, I'm not saying how prevalent that is today, but if you would have a blanket with shatnez, that would be a problem in HaTorah. What happened to Mordechai differentiate between the standards of Levisha for shatnez and the standards of Levisha for tzitzit? The answer is very simple. It's based on psukim. Because when the Torah describes shatnez, it says, Ubege kilayim shatnez lo ya'ale alecha. The Lashon HaTorah is aliyah. If it's put on top of you, if you're wearing something on top of you, that's a violation of shatnez. When it speaks about tzitzis, it speaks about bigdeyim. The Torah speaks about ksus chashitachasaba. It talks about bigdeyim, where there are also some tzitzis. Or beged is not halal. Halal is not a beged. So according to the view of the Mordechai, our entire shayla, at least concerning regular blankets, I didn't get to the hands inside the blankets, but at least concerning regular blankets, really is a non-starter. Because it doesn't matter whether it's success, yom, laila, yom, bi, yom, the whole thing is a moot issue according to the Mordechai. It's always potter, because it's derech halo and not derech levisha. But the Mishnah Berurah says, v'yesh chalkin, there are those who disagree. There are those who say, d'afilim yatziya tachtav beged shel dal kanfas chai betzitzis. There are some who say that even if the quote-unquote garment slash blanket is underneath you, it's a sheet, it would be chayav, koshkin derech halo. And how much more so, if it was on top of you, it would be chayav. So we have two different factors that are now combining together when we address the regular issue of blankets, not the plain blanket, regular house blanket. One is Lila versus Yom. That's not the greatest kula, because according to the view of the Rambam, once it gets light outside, you have a problem. The second kula was the Mordechai, that it's not wearing, it's just on top of you. Also not clear. So what should we machri? How should we pass it on regular blankets before the plain blankets? So the Mishnah Berurah has the following suggestion. The Mishnah Berurah says, Al-Kaini Chri HaMagin Avram, he quotes from the Magin Avram, who comes to the following conclusion. Diyasek Keren Achas Agula, you should actually round off one of the corners of your blanket. V'yeitzelib D'Kuliyam, then you avoid the Hoshayla. But the Mishnah Berurah recommends that the correct thing to do at home is to actually go to your blanket. Please don't run there yet until we get to the end of the Shia. You go to your blanket and round off one of the blankets, one of the corners, and then sure, you don't have a four-cornered, so to speak, garment anymore. But then, even though the Mishnah Berurah just threw this chumra at us, and he tones it down a little bit with the kula, achein mashma b'dvarav, it would appear from the Magen Avram, de'ein lahachme b'zeh rach b'sadin shel tzemer, avalo b'shal pishal b'shaminim ayin atav p'ri b'gadim, that the Magen Avram only insisted on being machma to round off your blanket if it's a woolen blanket. If it's some other kind of material, then one would not be obligated to round it off. What is that based on? So that's based on the following. There is a machlokas in the Gemara, the Tanoim, Ramaroim, Mishalim, Shulchan Aruch, Ramah, a running machlokas for thousands of years. which garments, what material of garments are obligated in tzitzis min haTorah. According to one view, all garments. It's wool, cotton, silk, everything is chayav min haTorah. And according to the other view, no, only either wool or linen are obligated min haTorah. Linen gets complicated for other reasons, we'll leave that out for now. Basically, practically, only wool is obligated min haTorah. Everything else is only obligated min derabbanan. That's why there are some who are machmir when they wear dalek kanfos, so they wear dalek kanfos of wool. So the Mishnah Berurah quotes such a practice that you want to make sure that your yotzei tzitzis derais according to all opinions. So some have a chumrah that they wear dafka the woolen dalek kanfos instead of a cotton dalek kanfos. Those who don't follow that chumrah, they follow the psach of the Ramah. The Ramah paskins against those rishonim. The Ramah paskins that the ikra din is that all garments are chayav min haTorah. Cotton, wool, silk, it's all the same. So one gains really nothing by wearing a wool dalek kanfos. So yesh v'yesh, some are machmir for that opinion. Others are not machmir for that opinion. But al kol panim, the Mishnah Berurah says that since we're not even 100% sure that cotton is really chayav min haTorah anyway, and we have so many other tzadim l'hokal here. According to the Rosh, it's a kesus laila. According to the Mordechai, it's not derech levisha, it's only derech halah. We have so many other different l'hokal, so many other tzadim l'hokal. If it's a woolen garment, a woolen blanket, which is a real deraisa, belishim safek, then the Mishnah Berurah gets very, very nervous and he says he's round off a quarter. But if it's not a woolen garment, then we can rely on the different tzadim, that's probably okay anyway. So this is the hachra of the Mishnah Berurah. So I'm not going to ask for a show of hands how many people here have rounded off the blankets in the house, or for that matter, have rounded off at least their woolen blankets in the house. I would imagine that the answer is going to be none, including myself. My hand's not going up in this foot either. The question is, why not? So the Aruch HaShulchan quotes the same question, the Mordechai and the others, and the Aruch HaShulchan writes that the Iker HaDin is like the Mordechai. The real reason why it's Potter is because it's Derech HaLot, it's not Derech Levisha, the whole thing is not true. Forget the Laila and Yain, the whole stuff is all moot point. The Emes of Potter is Derech HaLot. The Tzitzis and Shatnez are not the same. They're different standards of garment. And that's the reason for the Minhag HaOlam. I think that seems to be the pretty prevalent Minhag B'Zman HaZeh.
Today, when we have quilts, which are four corners, we have quilt covers, which also have four corners.
Right. Except that those quilt covers are usually not wool.
Definitely not.
Right. So the Mishnah Berurah was only machmir by wool. Even the Mishnah Berurah was still machmir. Right. That's why the Mishnah Berurah would be making on a lot of the stuff. The wool blankets, the Mishnah Berurah would be machmir on. Just as an interesting side to this machlokes, the Mishnah Berurah and the Aruch HaShulchan about the covers, somebody told me that they went to ask from David Lifshitz about how come the Minhag HaOlam is that people are so making on this, and the Mishnah Berurah, the Magen Avraham, people got so machmir, you have to round off one of the corners. Those who knew Reb David in later years only spoke Lashon HaKodesh. In the early years he spoke Yiddish, and then in the later years when Lester Bachman said Yiddish, he didn't want to speak English. He knew how to speak English, but he wouldn't speak English. He would always speak Hebrew, always speak Lashon HaKodesh. One of the boys asked him, Rebbe, you know, I'm a Minhag Lakel, people are still making on this. The Reb David looked at him and he said, I don't understand. So the Bachman repeated, said, no, the people don't do this. They don't round off the corners. So Reb David said, they're not religious. He said he couldn't even fathom that people don't round off their corners. So the Shulchan told me that he has Reb David Talpa. That's what he told me. But notwithstanding that story, the Aruch HaShulchan is Mekel, and I think by the show of last hands up, the Minhag HaOlam, at least in the Ashur on Wednesday night, is to be Mekel on this Shaila as well. But let's now take everything we know and go back to the plain Shaila. So that's really where we were heading. So we have two different Svaras that the conventional poskim used to exempt blankets, or potentially exempt blankets from tzitzis. One was going down the route of the Laila V'Yom, which again became a Chalik Ram and the Rosh, and is it really Laila, is it really Yom, etc. So how useful is that when it comes to the plain blanket? Well, we weren't so sure about that, because first of all, sometimes people are wearing them in the Yom, so that's, according to the Ramam, already a problem. And even if you're wearing them a Laila, we weren't 100% sure that the plain blankets are really, truly a Beged HaMiyuchad, Aksus HaMiyuchad, the Laila either. So we weren't so thrilled about that. So what kula were we very happy with? The kula that we were more satisfied with was the second kula of the Mordechai. That was when the Aruch HaShulchan held with the Ikra Hadid, that it's not called Derech Levish, it's called Derech HaLaw, which is potter from Tzitzis. So we have to reevaluate that in light of the holes of the sleeves. That Bamedav HaMemurim, we could say something is Derech HaLaw, not Derech Levisha. That's the old style blanket. I'm sitting on the chair, and I take a blanket, just kind of toss it on top of me. That's the lach equivalent of laying in bed and toss the blankets on me. But once I put my hands on it, I'm walking around up and down the aisles wearing my blanket, even though I'm not literally walking, but I'm laying on the chair, leaning back, and I got this blanket surrounding me, the arms are through it. I don't know what in the world is between that and a shirt. Well, I'm wearing a four-cornered shirt. Why is that not chayvin tzitzis? I thought that was already a potential problem. That's the bad news. The good news is that it would appear that none of the kulas are even necessary, because we have a much better kula. It's going to solve the entire problem. It's going to circumvent the entire problem. If we take a look at the fourth of the Mamre Kamos, so the Gemara says Chul and Daf Kuf Yud tells us Talis Sheula Kol Shloshim Yom Ptur Min Tzitzis. If a person borrows a garment, there is no need to put tzitzis on the garment for the first 30 days. What is this based on? We'll see in a moment that this is based on the premise that Min HaTorah there's no chiv of tzitzis whatsoever if you don't own the garment. Torah says, "Kanfas kisuscha." Kisuscha comes l'may talashu'ula. It's a borrowed garment that is exempt from tzitzis. The Rishonim are quick to point out that this din is discussing the following scenario. If I lend you a garment, there are no strings in the garment, I lend you a garment, and now you have to decide, well, do I put tzitzis on, do I not put tzitzis on? So the din is, you're puzzled from tzitzis. What if I lend you a garment with strings on it already? You ask me, can I borrow, quote-unquote, your talis? There are already strings on it. Why do you want to borrow my talis? Because you want to wear it for davening. You want to make a bracha on it. So here the Rush points out that that's not really borrowing the talis. That's called giving the talis as a gift. Now, I don't want to give it to you forever. I give it to you what's called the matana manasta hachzer. I give it as a gift on the condition that you're going to return it to me. We already have precedence for that in the Gemara Maseches Kedushin in Davov, considering a lulav and esrog. You have to own an esrog. You have to own the dalam minimum. So first, lochem lochem shalochem. What's the din? If I lend you a lulav and esrog, the Mishnah says lulav ashol is not acceptable. But what if I give it to you as a gift on the condition to return it? So then that is acceptable. That's the Farish Gemara. So it could be that when I give you my lulav and esrog, it's understood that I want you to be yotze. You want to be yotze. So even though we didn't say the whole lumdisha story out that there's an official form of Taras HaHachzer, it's built into the system. Of course, everyone understands that. That's what the Rush says in Uchas Tzitzis as well, that when I come to you and I say, can I please borrow your talis? I need a talis for that. I left my talis at home. I want to borrow your talis. I don't really mean to borrow your talis. What I really mean is to acquire your talis temporarily, and even back with Tamas HaHachzer. But Kol Zman that I have the talis, it's considered to be 100% mine. And therefore, I can recite a bracha on it. That's what that minig is. Like this Rush that people forget the talis and fill, and they ask somebody, can I buy your talis and fill it? Film doesn't have to be lachem anyway, but talis has to be lachem, it has to be kanfas kisuscha, and we have no qualms reciting a bracha on a quote-unquote borrowed talis, because it really is not borrowed, it really actually does belong to you. Most we've discussed that this svar makes sense if you're just borrowing a talis for a split second to get an aliyah, go quickly down for yomer or something, you know, to get a hagba. Was that also considered to have that same svar? So some posts can say, yeah, if you borrow someone's talis for any of those purposes, that's called your talis. And others say, no, that when you borrow the talis because I really want to make a bracha and taf and I'm going to wear it for 45 minutes, that's called owning the talis. The guy, chick-chack, throws the talis on, throws it off, so maybe no bracha would be made. Then it comes a more complicated shaila. What if I'm not borrowing from an individual? What if it's a shul talis? So a shul talis, it could be that I own the talis. It could be that a shul property is ultimately owned by everybody in the shul, or at least all paying members of the shul. It could be that if I take a shul talis, that's by definition mine. That really becomes even more complicated, Shiloh. Some people can stay still. If you just take a talis from an aliyah, maybe you also don't make a bracha, but that's not really called derech levisha. You're just throwing it on for 2 seconds, derech kavod, maybe that's not a levisha. Those are all technicalities in terms of hilchos tzitzis, but the underlying principle is, the Gemara says in Chulin, that if I really truly lend you a talis, then there's no need for you to put tzitzis on for the first 30 days.
But why don't you go to a shul where you're a visitor? Are you allowed to make a bracha?
Right, so the poskim said that even if you're not a paying member, you can still make a bracha because it's understood that shuls want to encourage people to come visit them. It's understood when the rabbi bought the talis and the rabbi, somebody whoever bought the talis 20 years ago, bought it with the understanding that other people are going to come and use it once in a while. So at that moment when they're using it, the shul is officially machmeh to them. So it really is their talis.
So theoretically, the shul is giving you a matana.
Right. Even though nobody's actually spelling all this out, but it's understood that this is all that's happening. Yeah. If you own a share in Elal, yeah. That would be a much more serious problem. Right? That would be Talos HaShutfetz. Talos HaShutfetz is Chayavis and Tzitzis, right? Right. Baruch Hashem, I don't think I own a share in. unless I check my tremendous portfolio of stock, that Elal wasn't on the. But the best thing to do is actually. Because there are some who say that if the better thing to do is to borrow a personal talus from somebody else, because that way you can mamish say, I'm having more not to be zoch on it. A shul talus, according to some poskim, you already own a share of it. According to other poskim, you're going to own a share once you pick it up. So if you hold that you own a share already, then having a more not to be zoch is not going to help you. If you hold that it doesn't become yours so you pick it up, then you can have a more not to be zoch on it. So the hierarchy of talitot, or whatever, talism, at night, if you don't want to make a bracha anyway, which you're not going to, you should really borrow a private talus. Next best thing is you use a shul talus. If all else fails, then you put on your own talus. In my shul, there's only one time a year, except for Yom Kippur night, only one time a year when I put in a talus, I lay in the Megillah on Purim night. So the minig is in some place that the Balkari puts out a talus. But I often go out of my way not to wear my own talus, and I try not to wear one of the shul taluses either, because first of all, half the shul taluses are mine, because I donated a bunch of old taluses that I don't even know which is which. So there's one fellow, we already have a minute going in the shul, that I borrowed his talus. It was one year that fellow wasn't at Kriyas Megillah. Somebody else gave me their talus. My luck, that other person wears Tchelus. But now they got pictures taken of Rabbi Savolovsky wearing Rabbi Savolovsky wears Tchelus. So it should have said in the caption, on Purim we wear Tchelus. Reading the Megillah night, he wears Tchelus. Mordechai Yosef, Rabbi Vushmachos Tchelus.
So if the Lubavitcher grabs a yid on surface and has Machta Bracha on the Lulav and Ezra. Is he giving him the Lulav and the Ezra Matana on Machta Hachzer, even though the Yid in the street doesn't know what the hell is going on?
Well, after the first day, you don't need that. After the first day, you can be Yotzi with a Lulav Hashol. Only on the first day, it has to be Lachem. If he grabs him on the first day, that it's understood that he's giving him a Matana. I doesn't know everything.
The Yid on the street understands that it's a Matana.
Yeah. He doesn't understand anything, right. I'm not sure the Lubav Shigar giving him understands the Lachem. But with everything is al das, whatever the halacha is. That's what in all these things, we assume that whatever al das amak, al das akal, whatever the din is, that's what should work. Okay. Anyway, to get back to that story. So the din is that for the first 30 days, tal shulis patur. Where did that magic number 30 come from? So the Tosfos in the fifth of the Ramah Kamos explains, tells the chudaf yud, tal shulis patur kol shloshim yom, with the rise of tuli yom, minat tur it's patur entirely, because the kamar brachos again, ksus chavalo shalachem, alafisha niris kishalo. But after 30 days, it looks like it's yours already. Usually don't borrow things for so long. So therefore, chayvu chachamim mishloshim of eilach de'ein derech lishol yosim mishloshim yoyim. Since generally people don't borrow a garment for more than 30 days, if someone sees you wearing the same peg day in, day out, they're going to think it's yours. Okay, derech shtichum arasai, and therefore midirabonon, you have to put tzitzis on it. But midiraisa, you never do. And within 30 days, even midirabonon, you don't have to. So as I was chasing over the sugim ahead, as I was freezing and trying to figure out how to get this blanket onto me, so it dawned on me that it's not a shadow altogether. Forget the ksus yom, ksus laila. Forget the halal versus levisha. It's mutlach atchila, because it's a talis she'ula. I don't own the garment. I'm not going to walk away with this garment. If I do, I think we'll call it a talis gezula. Halal doesn't let you take away, I think the elans like when you take away the blankets off the planes. So that's a talis she'ula. So talis she'ula. It's p'tur koshla shibyom, it's p'tur min atar, p'tur min d'rabbanan. Therefore, I think l'chadchila would be perfectly permissible to do so. If you're on the same flight for 30 days straight and you keep on using the same dollars over again, then you have a problem with d'rabbanan. But normal circumstances, so I think it's okay. So again, we got a chance to see the unique aspects of this shaila, and again, many of these issues that we touched upon spill over to other aspects of the concept. I don't think the blankets today, I never heard of the blankets today being exceptional. It doesn't matter, but it's Talas Shul anyway. I can wear a Mamash Talas Shul.
Rabbi Blessing.